Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is the radio ministry of the Christian Research Institute, designed to equip believers to defend their faith and become true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us on the internet at equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. It's always great to be in the studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada. Our contact information, then we'll go right to our phone calls on the web, equip.org, via the mail. It's Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And Resource Consultants is always standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to our phone callers. First up, Roberto, listening in El Paso, Texas. Hi, Roberto.
Hey, hello, Hank. I was calling because I was listening to your answer concerning the dinosaurs. You said that that Adam and Eve would have predated the dinosaurs, and kind of confused with that.
No, I didn't say Adam and Eve predated the dinosaurs. Certainly talked about this on many different broadcasts over the years, but what I've consistently said is that if you want to find out about when dinosaurs lived, you won't find the answer in special revelation. Rather, you'll find the answer in general revelation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I heard that. But you don't think that they lived millions of years ago, did they?
Well, I think that's the answer you would find if you look at general revelation. And there's...
Yeah, but the dinosaurs were carnivores. And if they lived millions of years ago, then that was before creation. And
it wasn't before creation, because God created all things. But the scripture doesn't...
But he did it in 7 days.
Well, but remember that if you look at Genesis, which is a literary masterpiece, it opens with a mnemonic or a memory aid by which we are daily reminded of God's creative prowess. The first 6 days are an outline with respect to the hierarchy of creation, culminating in humanity as the crowning jewel of God's creation. And then on the seventh day, the Creator in whom we ultimately find our Sabbath rest, rests. And therefore, the history of creation is remembered and recalled through its association with a continuous seven-day cycle of life. So this is not to give you some kind of a chronology, as though it takes God thousands of years to create or a millisecond. It's not meant to do that. It's meant to give us a way of remembering that God created all that has been created. And we do that through a continuous seven-day cycle of life. You know, Moses was writing at the time where people remembered things, an oral culture, if you will. And so information was passed on. And for that reason, it was not only remembered using mnemonics, but it was also given in such a way that it was memorable. Genesis itself is given in such a way that the major themes can be remembered with the 10 fingers of your hand. So it's a literary masterpiece on a lot of counts. But the 7 days are literal 7 days, but not to give us the chronology, but a framework by which we can remember during the entirety of our life, and a continuous seven-day cycle is going on in our lives, we can remember that God created all things.
Just give me, have patience. Give me a simple answer I can give people when they ask me about the dinosaurs.
Well, the dinosaurs are real creations of God. And if you want to find out when
did they live?
Well, they predated the time of Adam and Eve. They died out, perhaps, according to what we find in general revelation, 65 million years ago.
Okay, let me ask you something. Weren't they carnivorous?
Yes.
So how could there have been death before God actually killed an animal to claw Adam and Eve with clothes after they committed the sin. How could that happen?
Well, because when we look at the purposes of God in creation, we see that time's arrow doesn't just go in one direction. Jesus Christ is a lamb slain before the foundations of the world. Though the slaying of Jesus Christ or the sacrifice of Jesus Christ came at a particular time, it accounted not only for sin that follows it, but sin that precedes it. In the same way, death is a consequence of Adam's sin. Death that preceded Adam's sin, just as death that follows Adam's sin. But as far as the language of the Bible, I think that's what you need to focus in on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when the Bible says that God sits upon or above the circle of the earth and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, we need to read that language in the sense in which it's intended.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I don't believe that there was millions of years ago. I really don't.
Well,
that's
fine. I
don't believe that the dinosaurs died before Adam and Eve because they had to kill to eat, and there was no death before Adam and Eve. That's why they were in the Garden of Eden. It was a being in heaven.
Well,
there was no death on earth.
Yeah, but again, there's a false assumption there. The false assumption underlying that debate is that Adam's sin necessarily precedes the advent of all evil, except for, of course, the rebellion of Satan. And therefore, in arguing that way, you're constrained to reject standard astronomical and geological dating. And I think you want to look at the evidence. I mean, if you look at the night sky, you can see a star that is in infancy. You can see a star that's in midlife. You can see a white dwarf star, right? And so you can also know how long it takes to burn out its nuclear energy.
Yes. And,
so just like, so you immediately know that that isn't measured in thousands of years. That's measured in billions of years.
But the Bible doesn't tell us that. Scientists tell us that.
Well, but remember, science could never have come about apart from biblical notions, which is to say that science could never have developed in Greek thought, because the Greeks believed in a universe that was ministered by moody gods, capricious gods. But the Christian came along and said, no, though you have rightly codified the laws of logic, you have not understood that God's imprimatur is on the universe that he has made. We can learn to think God's thoughts after him. So the whole idea of science came about within a Christian context to begin with. So we shouldn't set science in opposition to Scripture. The Bible is not
That's
a
right.
science
yeah.
textbook, but it is certainly correct in what it says. The problem is people have not learned to read the Bible for all it's worth. So when the Bible uses a metaphor, they read it in a wooden literalistic fashion. And when you do that, you have all kinds of absurdities popping up all over the place. If you read that Jesus is a lion and you think he really is a lion, he looks like a lion, or you think that Adam and Eve were tempted by a talking snake as opposed to by a powerful satanic being, and the snake is used to not tell us what he looks like but what he is like, if you don't read the Bible properly, you come up with all kinds of absurdity. So the problem is not with the Bible. The problem is with people not knowing how to read the Bible in the sense in which it's intended.
Okay, well, I don't want to hold you any longer, but maybe I'll write to you and you can send me some information, because this confuses people. I mean, it really does.
Well, I know it's very confusing to people if you don't know how to read the Bible for all it's worth. I mean, if you read the Bible and you say the earth is set on pillars and you think it's literally set on pillars, then obviously it's going to confuse people. But
I do pray before I read it and I ask for wisdom.
But it's not just about prayer. Prayer is very important, but it's also about study. It's about the art and science of biblical interpretation. It's a science in that rules apply. It's an art in that the more you apply it, the better you get at it.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. and I appreciate what you're doing.
Well, thank you.
If I could get your address, I'll call later and get your address. Maybe I can get some material, and maybe I'm reading it wrong, but I want to do it right.
Well, bless you. Thank you so much for your call. I very much enjoyed talking to you. There's so much about the Bible that we need to understand in the sense in which it's intended. So often, young earth creationists argue that Isaiah 40:22 teaches the sphericity or the circle of the earth, and progressive creationists will allege that it points to Big Bang cosmology, stretches out the heavens, and anti-creationists assert it purports flat earth mythology, spreads the heaven out like a tent. One can only imagine theistic evolutionists averring that humans evolved from insects. People are like grasshoppers. If you don't read the Bible in the sense in which it's intended, you can have the Bible mean anything you want it to mean to support whatever your predilection is, as opposed to supporting that which corresponds to reality. Be right back with more answers in just a moment.
The famous British apologist G.K. Chesterton once noted, "The true soldier fights not because he hates what is in front of him, but because he loves what is behind him." Because at CRI we love what is behind us, our faith, our families, and our freedoms, we will never retreat quietly from the growing assaults on life and truth. Even when the costs are great, we will stand. To join like-minded friends in making a difference at home and around the globe, and to equip fellow believers to stand their ground courageously, become a member of CRI's support team. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI, or visit our website at equip.org. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will return in a few moments. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. The Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition Revised and Updated is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Endless predictions about end-time events and published timetables counting down the end have proven to be wrong 100% of the time. When doomsday predictions fail, there is double-duty damage. Many theologically juvenile and scripturally superficial Christians abandon the faith as a result of these failed predictions, and the public image of Christianity is damaged, making Christians appear to be hopelessly naive and easily duped biblical bumpkins. Hank Hanegraaff's book, Prophetic Stars in the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy, will equip you not only to interpret biblical prophecy correctly, but to remember it as well. To receive your copy of Prophetic Stars as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Right back to our phone callers. Next up is Dan in Atwater, California. Hi, Dan.
Oh, hi. I was wondering if the whole desert area of the Middle East is a desolation, which is an abomination to us, very evil. Babylon was destroyed, Israel was destroyed, Egypt was destroyed in that whole desolate area, which is an abomination. So the a desolation, which is an abomination, is the whole Middle East area.
Well, that's not what the Bible is speaking of.
Place, which is Israel. Yeah. Israel would be the holy place, and you stand there, and you would see it. All the desolation.
Well, that's not what the Bible means when it talks about the abomination of desolation. Remember, Jesus said, so when you see the abomination that causes desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand. And so Jesus is pointing back to the Old Testament Antichrist, Antiochus the Fourth, Epiphanes. And remember, Daniel prophesied that he would come on the scene some 400 years after his prophecy, and that prophecy became an unforgettable reality when Antiochus the Fourth Epiphanes takes Jerusalem by force. He abolishes temple sacrifices, he erects an abominable altar to Zeus Olympus, and then he violates the Jewish covenant by outlawing Sabbath observance. Jesus points back to that. And by the way, this is a celebration, even at the time of Jesus Christ, and it is a celebration today, Hanukkah, where we remember what happened and how through God's providence, through Judas Maccabeus, the temple was desolated, but it wasn't destroyed. But Jesus points back to the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel, so as to look forward to a time when the temple is not only desolated, but manifestly destroyed. And of course, that happened just as he predicted it would happen 40 years later in AD 70.
Is that the desert area of the Middle East?
What's that?
Is that the desert area of the Middle East?
No, it's the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel, which Jesus points back to in terms of pointing to the abominable desolation that will take place when Jerusalem and the temple is destroyed, and that happened in AD 70. So there were two abominations of desolation in the scripture, one spoken of by the prophet Daniel, the other spoken of by our Savior Jesus.
Okay.
Appreciate your call.
Thank you.
I want to go back to the phone lines, talk next to Brad listening in Texas. Hi, Brad.
Good evening. How are you?
Good.
I had a question. I was going through Leviticus where they talk about burnt offerings because God likes the aroma. And is that something that is done nowadays, or is it too taboo?
Well, they're a type and shadow that point forward to the ultimate sacrificial lamb, which is Jesus Christ. And do remember in the Old Testament, David says, you, speaking of God, do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart of God you will not despise. So the burnt offering in the Old Testament pointed forward as a symbol to a substance. But God does not delight in burnt offering. What he delights in is a broken and a contrite heart, a broken spirit, as David says as well in Psalm 51. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Mike in Ogden, Utah, KUTR. Hi, Mike.
Oh, hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
And I do appreciate your the way you handle, you know, each caller with respect and gentleness. That's a great quality. So,
thank you.
My question is: do you think that the establishment of the State of Israel was a fulfillment of Bible prophecy? And just how do the promises to the Jews, you know, play into you know, are they going to be fulfilled? Like, that's, I've kind of based this on Bodhi and Brock Taney. They're quite prolific authors, and she's written a number, you know, most of her books have been to, I heard her speak in Utah once when she visited here, and she said her whole passion was to answer this question, you know, why do they hate us so? Like, she asked her grandmother that, meaning the Jewish people, why, you know, why is there so much anti-Semitism? And it just seems like the evil one would like some of those promises not to come true that he spoke to, you know.
Yeah, I think what's really important is that we recognize that God does not show favoritism. This is what Peter recognized as a result of a vision. So
okay.
For God, it's not whether you're Jew or Greek or whether you're slave or free or whether you're male or female. We are one in Christ. At the foot of the cross, we recognize ourselves as just people saved by the grace of God. So we should never look down on anyone, regardless of their ethnicity, their genealogy, the pigment in their skin, the color of their eyes, or anything else. We are all just sinners saved by the grace of God. And so at the foot of the cross, we don't see those distinctions. But as far okay. as the importance of Israel from a socio-political perspective, well, you can look at that from a socio-political perspective. But you don't find anything in the Bible whatsoever about a prophecy that talks about a modern day restored state. We can be very glad, again, for socio-political reasons and so forth, or for the fact that the Jews have a homeland. But God is not pro-Jew. He's pro-justice. He's not pro-Palestinian. He's pro-peace. And nowhere in the Bible is this prophesied. So we can be glad it happened, but there are a lot of things in the modern epic that happened that we can be glad about. But we don't try to say that it was prophesied in Scripture. In fact, interestingly enough, the disciples at one time expected Jesus to establish Jerusalem as the capital of a sovereign Jewish empire. And that notion had been ingrained in their psyches, so that as Jesus was about to ascend into heaven, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? What does Jesus say? Yes? No. He corrects this kind of erroneous thinking and expands their horizons from a tiny strip of land on the east coast of the Mediterranean Sea to the farthest reaches of the earth. You will receive power, said Jesus, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So in effect, Jesus left his disciples with instructions to exit Jerusalem, embrace the earth, and never again entertain the thought of establishing an earthly Jerusalem. As Paul said, we're not looking to an earthly Jerusalem, the Jerusalem that is above. She is our mother and she is free.
Doesn't the Old Testament say that, you know, Jesus is going to scatter the Jewish people, but then he'd bring them back into their homeland? Or has that already been fulfilled somewhere else?
Well, sure. And remember that all the promises God made to Abram have been fulfilled. This is what Joshua declares emphatically upon his own deathbed. I've written about this, if you want to have a full-orbed understanding of it, in the Apocalypse Code. Find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Again, you can get that book by just checking it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. I want to go back to the phone lines now, talk to James in Lexington, Nebraska. Hi, James.
Hi, Hank. My question for you is the old covenant was blood, or do I understand it right, that blood had to be shed for the forgiveness of sins?
Yeah.
What's the new covenant about?
Well, the new covenant is better than the old covenant, the writer of Hebrews says, and the reason for that is not because it is qualitatively different, but because the blood of Jesus Christ is better than the blood of bulls and goats. So the new covenant is what we adhere to in that Jesus is the fulfillment of all the types and shadows that came before.
It says that he, at the Last Supper, he This is the blood of the old covenant for forgiveness of sins and the blood of the new covenant. I never did quite understand that.
Yeah, well, again, if you look at Hebrews chapter 8, the last verse, the writer of Hebrews says, by calling the covenant new, he has made the first one obsolete. And what is obsolete and aging will soon disappear. Again, the whole point is the first covenant had regulations for worship. It had an earthly sanctuary. The new covenant has a heavenly sanctuary. The new covenant is fulfilled in Jesus Christ in a new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. But in the most literal sense, the new covenant is the new agreement God has made with humanity based on the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, which fulfills the old covenant.
Thank you, Hank.
You got it. Thanks so much for your call. We are out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Our address on the web, equip.org, via the mailbox, 8500 Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, resource consultants, they're standing by, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. So long for now.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Before we sign off today, here's our contact information. By phone, dial 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274. On the internet, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina. The zip code is 28271. Our prayer is that today's broadcast has equipped you to better defend your faith and encouraged you to pursue sound doctrine and godly living. Thank you for listening. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.